note that we received from Benjamin and Abigail Granger. They were the missionaries. Oh, kids, you can be dismissed. I'm sorry. I even wrote it down this week, too, and I still forgot to dismiss them. I don't know. Bev is always, she always has my back on that. Anyway, Benjamin and Abigail were the missionaries that were here last week, and they left this note on my desk, and it so touched my heart, I just wanted to read to you a few words. Thank you so much for your hospitality and for letting us speak at your amazing church. As I was sitting in service, I felt such a sense of peace. This church is a true resting place. The Holy Spirit lives here. What a power-filled, beautiful church. We are so grateful for you and for that sweet opportunity. That touched my heart because, as I have told you over and over again, I want people to experience Jesus and the Holy Spirit when they're here. And so to hear those words, it was the nicest thing I could hear. Yes. So when I first started telling people that I was going to be your pastor, one of my friends was joking around with me, and he said, "Oh, are you going to deliver fire and brimstone sermons?" And we kind of chuckled. But yes, I guess today I am. Today's scripture is found in Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. Colossians 1, 13 and 14, and it's on the screen if you need it. "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." So Paul wrote to the book of Colossians while he was in prison in Rome, and Paul in this letter is addressing false teachings which had infiltrated the Colossian church, especially syncretism. And syncretism is the combining of other ideas from other philosophies and other religions with Christian truth. And, you know, Dan and I saw a lot of syncretism when we were in Nepal. So many people had altars to all the, well, not all, but to some of the Hindu gods. Hinduism has a lot of gods. But when they first heard of Jesus, they would just take the cross and they would just add it to the shelf of their altar with all of their other things, you know. Now, this wasn't everybody. This was mainly done by people who didn't really know Jesus yet. And hold on. Yeah, I think that they didn't know that Jesus is the God above all gods. And I think that this happens in America too. I think people think that they can be Christian and be Buddhist at the same time. But you cannot. Not any more than you can serve Christ and have a demon live inside of you at the same time. Those things don't go together. And you see, the Colossians, they feared the unseen forces of darkness. And so Paul is telling them that true believers have been transferred from darkness to light, from slavery to freedom, from guilt to forgiveness, and from the power of Satan to the power of God. We have been released from a rebel kingdom to serve our King, and our conduct should reflect our new allegiance. We are children of the living God, and we have this beautiful Redeemer. And I want to take a moment, and I just want these words that Paul has written just to paint a picture in your mind this morning. Christ is the visible image of an invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Now, if those words kind of seem familiar to you, it's because Paul quotes Jesus speaking very similar words when he met Paul on the road to Damascus. And we talked about that the other day, that big event when Jesus appeared to Paul, and he was Saul then. So we're going to turn to Acts 26, verses 15 through 18. Acts 26, verses 15 through 18. I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. You are to tell the world what you have seen and what I will show you in the future. And I will rescue you from both your own people and from the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. So Jesus rescues us, and then he sends us. That's kind of what it's telling you. So if you have been saved, then you have a role in the great rescue mission. Just automatically. You're saved, you have a new role. 2 weeks ago, we talked about that testimony of Joanne Moody, who had a near-death experience, and she talked to Jesus, and then she was later healed. Remember that? And now she shares about Jesus to many people. And, you know, I love to hear the testimonies of people who have experienced a brief glimpse of heaven. I want to know about heaven. I want to see heaven. And so those stories, I just love them. And probably my love for this sort of testimony started when I first read this book called Heaven is for Real. You guys remember that? It's a really old book. But this little boy goes to heaven, and he comes back, and he tells his parents all about it. And then later there's a book written. And, you know, there are many people who study near-death experiences. And one of these people that study this is a man named John Burke. And in his research, he claims that 23% of the people who have had near-death experiences have glimpses of hell instead of heaven. How terrifying is that? So many of those cases have very similar stories to tell. And he records a lot of these testimonies. And most of those testimonies report a falling, a darkness, an absence of God, demons, torment, and torture. They report a feeling of void and hopelessness. And then they report that they desperately cried out for Jesus, and a hand and a light reached out to rescue them from this terrible darkness. And the love during this rescue was so very intense. And Jesus rescued them and then put them back in their body. Can you even imagine feeling that kind of despair and hopelessness a person would feel when they realize that they are in hell? And then how much overwhelming relief and joy that they would feel when Jesus reaches to rescue them. Nearly all of the people who are revived after a glimpse of hell, when they come back, they make dramatic dramatic changes in their life. They become better people. And they want to tell others how horrible hell is and that we all need Jesus as a savior. They tell others that they could not have saved themselves from hell, that Jesus, in his mercy, came when they cried out for him. So Howard Storm was an atheist art professor. And over the years, he and his colleagues had mocked Christians many times. But then he had a near-death experience. When he was in Paris in 1985, he was on a student art tour. And he had a perforation of his stomach. And he was in need of an emergency surgery, but a surgeon wasn't available at that time. And he lost consciousness. And then he reports that he was being escorted by creatures out of his body in the hospital and into hell. He said that he was tortured. And then he heard a voice that said, "Pray to God." Now remember, he's an atheist. He doesn't know how to pray. And he hears someone say, "Pray to God." And so in desperation, he's fumbling with prayers that he had heard in his youth. And he says what he remembers of the Lord's Prayer. And he still doesn't just really know how to pray. And so he just says the Pledge of Allegiance because he didn't know how to pray. And he said then there was an intense light and a love that came to him. And Jesus picked him up and moved Howard from hell. And then he got a glimpse of heaven. And when he came back to his body, he had surgery, and then they flew him to the U.S., and he was in the hospital for 3 months. He was in bad condition. But this experience was so real to him that he wants everyone to know Jesus. He lost a lot of friends over his testimony. A lot of his friends were atheists. They mocked Christians. And now he comes back, and all he can talk about is Jesus. So it cost him something. And he went on to become an ordained minister. And he was a pastor for over 30 years. He's given interviews about his experience, and he does not want anyone to go to hell. He wrote this book called My Descent into Death. And so many other testimonies have been documented about people who've had similar experiences. But maybe you don't believe those stories. Well, Jesus himself tells a story of a man who went to hell. And it's found in Luke 16, verses 19 through 28. So if you have a Bible and you want to, you can turn to Luke 16. Verses 19 through 28, but you don't have to. So this is Jesus telling this story. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At the gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus. He was covered with sores, and he was longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. And now he is comforted, and you are in agony. And besides this, between us and you, a great chasm, I always have to remember how to say that word, chasm, has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. So then the man said, I beg you to send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not come to this place of torture. Now, there's two things that really stood out to me in this story. First, Abraham and Lazarus cannot rescue this man. Men cannot do anything about people who are already in hell. We can only warn them before they arrive. And second, the man in Hades really wants to tell the people he loves not to end up there. So it's just like the people who had the near-death experience. They want to keep people from going to hell. It becomes a very urgent need. And as I'm standing up here to just now, I'm also thinking about, there are many people who pray to saints and want the saints to intervene or intercede. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, it doesn't really work that way, you know. The people who have died don't intercede for us, I don't think. And I think I get that from this story. Now, I don't know for sure why some people who have had near-death experiences in hell were rescued by Jesus, not by other people, but by Jesus, and allowed to have a second chance. And my belief is that Jesus knows our heart. And maybe Jesus saw something in their heart that they might repent and that they would testify to what happens in the afterlife and the choice that we can all make while we're still here. And so to me, I think Jesus sees something in them, something that can be redeemed. So today we've talked about how Jesus told Paul that he was to share what he had seen and to share what he will show him in the future. We have talked about people who've had near-death experiences that have such a need to share what they have seen and how Jesus rescued them. And now, do you know of someone who has a lot of questions about what happens to us after death? How could you have an important discussion with them? And first and foremost, I believe we have to pray. Before we enter into such a discussion, we have to pray that the Holy Spirit open the doors for the right time to talk to people who have these questions. And the Holy Spirit unlocks our hearts to receive what he has for them. And it is difficult. It's a difficult topic of death and the afterlife. It's hard to discuss. But there is something that can give us great courage. In Revelation 1:18, so that's Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died. But look, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and the grave." So, dear children of God, keep looking for ways to tell others about how Jesus rescues us, even from hell. We don't need a near-death experience to have an urgency to tell others about our Savior. The Holy Spirit can put that urgency in your heart today. And again, if you are saved, you are on that great rescue mission. And I am so very thankful that Jesus has made a way that I don't ever have to experience hell. I read testimonies as I was preparing for this service, and I thought over and over again, I don't want to be there. I never want to be there. I am so thankful that I don't have to be there. My hope is to someday meet Jesus in heaven, and what a glorious day that will be. And as we love people, as we meet people who are not in this church and they don't know Jesus, the greatest thing that you can ever do for them is to share Jesus with them. And so that they never have to experience hell. And that they too will be welcomed into the open arms of Jesus in heaven. All right, now I'm not a real fire and brimstone type pastor. But as we prepare for Easter, this is just the reality. And the reality is that Jesus gave his life for us, so we don't ever have to experience that. All right. That is all I have for you today. Have a blessed week. Thank you so much.